to the book of Acts. If you're new to Calvary Chapel, what really defines who you are is that we open up this word and we learn from it from back to back. So in the book of Acts, chapter 9, we'll finish up chapter 9 as we left off looking at Paul's conversion, how that God touched him with his mercy and with his grace and became a new man. And let's read together from verses 32 to the end of the chapter, Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwell in Lydda, where he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known through all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon at Anna. Let's pray. Jesus, as we open up your word, Lord, we come thirsty and hungry, Lord, thirsty to be quenched, Lord, with your living water, Lord, hungry to be fed with your bread, the bread of life. So, Lord, as we study your word, Lord, we open up our hearts, Lord, we open up our minds, we open up ourselves, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord. We open up to the depth of our hearts, Lord, asking you to fill us. So, Jesus, by your Spirit, guide us through as we study your word. May we, Lord, receive your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Up to this point, Paul, the sole persecutor of Christians, the man who went out on a mission to wipe out Christianity, had been converted. We saw how the hunter became hunted and God hunted Paul down, pinned him down, flawed him, and changed him, gave him a new commission. Now you know that persecution had, by default, made so many Christians accidental missionaries. There was heat in Jerusalem, so they were running away from the heat, the persecution, and as a result, they went out telling people about Jesus, about the risen, resurrected, alive Jesus Christ. And this section, Peter ends up in Joppa, 25 miles away from Jerusalem. I don't think he was running away from persecution because he definitely stood out there in Jerusalem as a Christian leader, as an apostle, and looks like, you know, for some reason he was invited to go up to Joppa, or, you know, he somehow ended up there because he would then return to Jerusalem. And here we find a Christian, Aeneas, sick, bedridden for 8 years, paralyzed, the Bible says. Now, that must have been a very painful experience for a man like Aeneas to be sick, bedridden, paralyzed for 8 years. I had a friend, he passed on about a few years ago. Cancer took him, and he said to me one time while working with him on I think still working with him in the Sports Federation, and he told me one thing: nobody makes an appointment with sickness. Aeneas did not make an appointment with sickness. It comes upon us as a result of living in this ugly world, this sick world. And this is a man bedridden for 8 years, and Peter happens to be where he was, the area where he was, in Lydda there. And Peter said to him, as he visited him on his sick bed, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise, take up your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Little did Aeneas know that one day he would be healed. You know, we all get sick, don't we? I have a friend, very dear friend of mine. Each time they are sick, they think they're going to die. So each time they have a fever, malaria, or whatever sickness is, they almost write their will. Like, I don't know if I live tomorrow. If in case I die, please take care of my children, and please take care of my belongings. We all fall sick, and sometimes, looks like this was a very chronic illness. He wasn't hoping at all to be well in his life. He just lay there 8 years. Little did he know that Jesus Christ, through Peter, would tell him to get up, would heal him, and immediately restore his health. And as a result, we see that so many came to the Lord because of the miracle they had witnessed. As sometimes God does very powerful, mighty things that draws people to Jesus Christ. As we go out, just like Peter, we went out on the streets and in these malls, we didn't cover as much as we wanted to cover. But one thing was evident, that God was really speaking through everybody who went out. Whether or not they were welcomed, God was speaking to those people. And when they stand before Jesus, they will not have an excuse, not having had the gospel, not having had the opportunity to receive his grace and mercy. And we've had testimonies of actually people who got saved during that week. As God comes in touch with people face to face, like Aeneas heals them, saves them, encourages them, rejuvenates them, re-energizes them, makes them strong again. Aeneas gets up, many people come to the Lord. Now, there are those who think and actually teach that Christians are not supposed to be sick in life. Anybody heard that? And if you're sick, you don't have faith, you don't pray enough, something's wrong with you. That's not true. Paul himself was sick. We read that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. He was afflicted in 2 Corinthians 12. He had pain in his body. Philippians 2, 25, read another Christian who was ill. He has a long name, Epaphroditus. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Timothy was sick. In 2 Timothy 4, 20, we read about a man called Trophimus who was sick. So it's a lie that Christians are supposed to be healthy and wealthy. As a result of sin in this world, we get sick. There are people right now, whether Christian or not, in our hospitals waiting for treatment, under treatment, sick. And in our sickness, tell you what, Jesus can meet us right there on our sick bed. And like Peter says to this man, Jesus heals you. Jesus can meet us on our sick bed to heal us. Now, there are those who also think on the other extreme that, well, since Jesus is a healer, I'm not going to take any medication, right? That's not true either. I mean, who gives all those pharmacists and doctors wisdom to get all this medication? It's God. They may not give God the credit for all the, medical inventions, but God actually does. God made us and gave us brains, and God uses them and uses medicine to restore our health as well. So much as God can heal us on our sick bed, God can heal us through medicine. As we pray that God may continue giving doctors wisdom to make inventions and medicines that can help us when we're sick. And then moving on from there, from verses 36 to 42, the situation was worse at Joppa. This lady was dead. Not only was she sick, she had been sick for a while, and she died. It is said of Tabitha or Dorcas, full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. So she made textiles. We saw widows weeping around Peter holding the textiles that she weaved and probably sold and gave willingly and cheerfully to meet other people's needs. What a testimony this lady has. Now, it's normally tradition in funerals, right, that we always have to say good things about the dead, as if they give us any credit for saying the good things. We would rather tell them they, you know, we could rather commend them for the good things they do when they're alive than when they're dead, because they're dead, they can't hear anything, they're gone, right? But it's said of this lady, she was full of good works. This was a generous lady. Everybody knew that she was generous and she did take care of the needs of others. She probably was a widow as well. We do not know. Maybe a single mother. We do not know. Regardless of her situation, one thing is said of her. She was full of good deeds. We live in a day when we think too much about our own needs, right? We think too much about our own selves. We care more about our own comforts and conveniences than we do care about others next door. Not even far off, others next door. Now we can excuse economic strains and economic pressures, but the Bible stays very clear about the call to be generous as Christians. When I grew up, about the first 8 years of my life, grew up deep in some village in Tororo, before the war broke out, you know, the Kwena war, we ran off. But there was one thing about the village that I grew up in. I could have a meal in any home around us, anywhere. If I had trouble at home, you know what I'd do? Just go to the neighbors. And then I'd have lunch or dinner or breakfast. Now that has changed, partly because of, you know, the population increase and all. But the principle of generosity and meeting other people's needs remains clearly taught in scriptures. There's no excuse. We need to be known that we are full of good works, and not just for the sake of good works, because even the non-Christians do it around Easter time, around Christmas, in Christmas time, around election time. Everybody gets kind of generous for the vote, you know, for the attention, for the publicity in the papers. Not for that. It's what Jesus calls us to do. God himself is generous. Jesus himself showed so much generosity and care for others on this earth. So was the case with this lady. She fell sick. She's dead. She's given, you know, a few days of mourning. Probably the very day she died, maybe just a few days, one or two. And then these Christians hear that Peter is in town. Now, they sent two people to invite him. So, who knows? In their mind, I'm thinking, could be that Peter can implore the Lord, could pray to the Lord and bring her back to life. It was an act of faith. They weren't really sure that, okay, go invite that man of God, that powerful apostle called Peter. He's just going to touch this dead woman. She's going to come back to life. No. Go ask Peter to come and pray for her. Could be that she may come back to life in faith, inviting Peter. And Peter is very quick to respond, runs over. She's upstairs. He goes there. There are widows there weeping with her, showing Peter all the textiles, the clothes she weaved. And Peter says, you know what, forget about the clothes. You can put them off. I mean, put them down. I've seen them. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to ask God. I'm going to talk to God about her. You probably also had, you know, these twisted views of prayer. Just command God. Praying, just command God. Just tell God what you want him to do and he'll do it. Prayer is not commanding God. Prayer is kindly and humbly asking God. Some people teach that prayer changes God. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes us, doesn't it? If you are a Peter, you go to a dead body, kneel there and pray, and the dead person comes back to life, who changes? You change, don't you? You're like, what? You probably take off for dear life. Because sometimes you actually pray to God, God, do this, and when he does it, you're like, oh, I can't believe God did this. You prayed, didn't you? You asked him to do it. Again, an act of faith, a demonstration of faith. Peter kneels down and says only two words, the lady's name and arise. When some people start praying, you're like, when are they going to finish? Even when they're praying for a meal, when are they going to finish? You're like, are you still praying? It's time to eat. Peter only mentions the lady's name, gives a command. Simple, isn't it? Prayer is not how much we talk or how loud or how low, how high, how... You hear some people praying. When I was younger, Christians were known to be noisemakers when they prayed. When you hear shouting from somewhere around your home, you're like, oh, those are our localies. Not so with Peter. Two words. Arise, Tabitha. She opened up her eyes. She saw Peter. She got up. She was resuscitated. She wasn't resurrected. She was still in the same body. That is called resuscitation. Brought back to life. Now, we just came out of death and resurrection of Jesus, Easter time. And apart from sickness, death is the most painful reality in life. Remember when Jesus died, everybody was sad in Jerusalem. All his followers, sad, sorrowful, grieved, just like these widows. One of them had passed. It's painful. It's a sting, the Bible calls it. It's not too painful, a sting for God to deal with. In our own country, statistics show that an average of 12 out of every 1,000 people die every year, about 5% death every year. Each one of us has lost a loved one in life, and we will in the course of life. Jesus brings her back to life. The saints and widows received her life from Peter, and it became known all through Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that Peter stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner, man who worked with hides and skins. Now, that was completely illegal in Scripture. Peter was not supposed, as a Jew, he wasn't supposed to interact with anybody who dealt with dead animals, but make them unclean. And I think Peter, to this point, has known who Jesus is. He had known that the law and the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. All the laws and all the prophecies were pointing to Jesus. And he doesn't care more about being unclean by interacting with a man, living with a man who worked with dead and moskins and hides. He's been changed. And when Jesus comes into our lives, what he does is just removes all the walls of prejudice, all brothers and sisters. In fact, here in this half of Acts chapter 9, Christians are referred to as saints. Now, some people have given us a notion that to be a saint, you must be dead for 1,000 years, and you must have done really many good deeds. I just read in the papers today that there are two former popes have been declared saints. Wow. A saint is anybody who comes to Jesus, receives his forgiveness, and gets new life, new spiritual life. You're a saint. You don't have to live for so long and do so many good things and die. And 100 years later, you're called a saint. No, you are a saint right now. So you can go out and tell everybody you're a saint. Saint, your name. Saint basically means separated to the Lord, set apart for the Lord. We're set apart from the world for Jesus. We are set apart from sin to holiness. We are set apart from serving our own selfish desires to serving God, living for his pleasure. Now, as we live in the painful reality of death, of sickness, we see in both situations that God has control over the sick, he has control over the dead. That brings hope, doesn't it? In Psalm chapter 6, verse 2, the psalmist wrote, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are troubled." In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14, Jeremiah wrote, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Jesus is in this business of healing. Now, there are those who are gifted primarily with the gift of miracles and healing. And, you know, they, of course, use it poorly, you know, for their own publicity. It becomes a personal, international ministry and all that. Jesus still heals people. He does, and he can heal us. The psalmist again wrote in Psalm 147, verse 3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Are you sick? Are you brokenhearted? Are you disappointed? Are there dead things in your life? Dead plans, dead dreams, dead thoughts, dead expectations? It could be that Jesus allowed it to die so he can bring it back to life. The credit would be his. In Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3, bless the Lord, the psalmist wrote, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. In fact, for us Christians, even the process of death is actually being healed into eternity. We may struggle with, oh, why was this man sick for 8 years? Where was God for 8 years? He showed up in the 8th year. Why was such a valuable woman in the community there dead? Why did God allow that to happen? And we can struggle with things that we cannot pull down from God's mind. He knows best why he allows certain things to happen. But we can rest in this. He heals. He may allow us to be bedridden for 8 years. He heals. He may allow some people to die. Even the process of death itself is healing. Being healed from all this ugliness in our planet into glory. We make some plans. When I was 25, I wanted to marry at 28. I made it all my purpose, my intention, to marry at 28. I did not marry at 28. And by 28, and when it did not happen at 28, honestly, my plans died. I remember buying an engagement ring by faith. And around that time, it did not happen. So I actually gave it out. A friend of mine needed them. I was like, you can have them. I married 2 years later. I married when I was 30. God brought my dead plans to life. And it could be that in our time frame, we want this to happen now, tomorrow, the other day, next week I want this. In 1 year I want this. And 6 years I want this. And all that happens. I mean, the time goes by and nothing happens according to your plan. And they all die, don't they? Jesus brings them back to life. It could be in the 8th year, like Phineas. Could be instantly, the moment they die, like this lady Tabitha. Jesus is a healer. He heals. And if you have any physical ailment, disease, disorder, let's reach out asking God to heal. Maybe you have some dead things in your life. Could be that God has allowed them to die for that season. He wants to bring them back to life today. Let's stand and pray. And maybe you're still dead in your sins. You do not know Jesus individually. You have not received his spiritual healing. He's here to bring you back to life, give you a new life today. Lord, we thank you so much that in our troubles, Lord, in sickness, even in death, in our own death, in the death of our dreams and plans, and everything else that matters to us, Lord, we have seen and we know you are a healer, Lord. You are in the business of healing. And Lord, some in this room are sick. Medicine could have failed. Everything else could have failed. Lord, you never fail. You can heal. So Lord, heal the sick. Heal your people. Heal us, Lord. Jesus, we may have dead plans in life. Maybe you've given up on certain aspirations and dreams, and they are dead. But you can bring them to life. So Lord, bring them to life in your will. Lord, heal our hearts. Heal our broken hearts. Heal our minds, Lord. Our sick minds. Our derailed minds. Heal our bodies, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.